Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Use LinkedIn to Help Your Career Change and Grow Your Exposure here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I'm so happy to be here today with Susan Tabor-Kleiman, who is an online networker extraordinaire, at least in my estimation, and a LinkedIn expert. And I really often hear clients and friends saying, I should be on LinkedIn, but I don't know how, I don't even really know why, but I feel like it's this thing I should do. And for people in career transition, it can be hard to know how to use LinkedIn when you don't know what job you're even looking for. It's also really tricky to know how to use LinkedIn when you're preparing for a job change, but you don't want to raise red flags. The good news is just a few steps can help you begin to stand out, and my guest today is here to share them with us. Susan's going to share tips that apply to you no matter where you are in your career transition or your process. So as I said, I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach. And what I do is I help 30-somethings who aren't where or who they thought they'd be with their careers, relationships, and lives. And often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic and feeling they should have figured it all out by now. And I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. That really tends to involve navigating major transitions, such as career changes, and that's where LinkedIn comes in. So you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com, that's CarrieSpaulding.com, and you can sign up there for free tips and tools. You can also connect with me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the30somethingcoach. 30-something written out, no spaces, no numbers. And you can follow me on Twitter at @SpauldingCarrie. So now I'd like to get right to it and welcome Susan Tabor-Kleiman to the show. Like many of our listeners are in the process of doing, Susan made her own career change, although it was a while back. And as assistant district attorney and civil trial lawyer before starting her business, Your Professional Writer, Susan took her love of persuasion and writing and telling people stories and turned it into a business, which is called Your Professional Writer. Susan works with professionals and entrepreneurs to create customized LinkedIn profiles that have them shine. A frequent workshop leader to corporations and professional groups, Susan is also a lecturer at the Wharton School of Business of the University of Pennsylvania. And her recent appearances as a LinkedIn expert include MSNBC's Your Business with J.J. Ramberg, and Good Day Philadelphia. So welcome to the show, Susan Tabor-Kleiman.
Thanks so much.
So, Susan, when I got started on LinkedIn years ago, I really had no idea why I was doing it. I think I did it because I finally reached that tipping point where I got enough emails from people requesting to connect with me, but I really didn't get the point. So finally I said, okay, I'll sign up, and I just entered my email, and I did the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And like me back then, I hear a lot of people say, I should really be on there, but don't actually get what LinkedIn is all about. So what does LinkedIn provide? Why should you bother?
That's a great question, and I was like you also. When I started on LinkedIn, that's why I started, because I started getting all these invitations and didn't really even understand what it was all about. So I think a lot of us do start that way. LinkedIn is a professional networking site. At its minimum and its most basic, that's what it is. It is the modern-day version of networking, and it provides an opportunity to build your connections, among other things too, you know, credibility and other things, but it's an opportunity to build connections that you can then use to further your career and also to help other people with theirs.
And I love that you included that, Susan, because so often we think of networking as how do I get myself ahead or how do I build the connections that are going to help me move forward, and it sounds like a big part of it is how can you support others and how can you help other people who you're connected with.
Absolutely.
So what would you say to people who feel like they can't start on LinkedIn, either because they really have no idea where they're going with their career transition, so they don't even know what kind of work they're looking for, or maybe they're afraid to raise red flags with their current employer because they're afraid if I am on there and I'm connecting, my employer is going to kind of raise their eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, those are both good concerns to have. Let's start with the second one first. You know, I don't want to raise any red flags. The bottom line is that LinkedIn is a reality today, and I would hope that employers would want their employees to be on LinkedIn. I mean, I've done workshops for companies who've asked me to come in to help train their employees to be on LinkedIn. So clearly they understand that LinkedIn is more than just looking for work, or there's no way they would hire somebody to come in and teach their employees how to get another job and leave. So there are things that you can do to avoid the red flags. If you, yeah, I'm a huge advocate for getting recommendations, but if you were all of a sudden to have 10 recommendations show up in 1 week, I think that could raise a red flag. What makes more sense is to build your profile over time, to start connecting with people. And that is, it's really what is the norm in the business world today. Now, you know, the caveat to that is you have to know your boss, and some people might be in situations where that is unavoidable, that it would raise a red flag. You can either then, you know, depending on the relationship, you could even approach the boss and say, you know, I listened to this LinkedIn call and the person said that it's a reality in the world and everybody should work on their LinkedIn profile, so I'm going to start doing that now. And sort of head that off at the pass. That's one strategy that you can use. The other part of the question, which was how do you create your profile if you don't even know where you're headed? Which is actually a very good question, because one of the things I really emphasize to people is that having a strong LinkedIn profile depends on targeting your profile to a particular audience. So if you don't know who your particular audience is, you don't want to just stay off and not do anything. The best thing to do is to just build your profile generally. And the simplest way to do that is to start connecting with people. Because no matter where you're going, even if you have no idea where it is, having a strong network is only going to support you.
So it sounds like even if you don't know where that, where you'd like that network to support you, ultimately, today is the day you should start to build it. And then trust that when you're, when you have more clarity, you'll at least have the connections in place to begin to help you.
Absolutely.
Susan, such valuable information, and I know that, that those are two real concerns. So it sounds like just the fact that you've been into organizations to help people, to help employees understand how to be on LinkedIn, it kind of shifts that whole idea that LinkedIn is only a place for if you're moving, that this is a place where professionals are sort of expected to be, and
yeah,
and perhaps even increasing visibility for their current companies.
Yes, definitely. And there, you know, there are a lot of aspects to a LinkedIn profile that are more than just where am I headed that are related to jobs. And I think companies are beginning to realize this. You know, the fact that you can follow a company and find out what's happening in the company, the fact that you can participate in discussions in virtual groups that exist on LinkedIn to learn more and to contribute to others, all show that LinkedIn is far more than a, it is not a job site. It is a networking, professional networking site.
So what's one thing that everybody can start doing today, no matter where they are, no matter how much clarity they have? What would be the sort of your number one place to start?
Well, it's what you alluded to a couple minutes ago, which is start building those connections. And, you know, I get a lot of questions from people about who should I connect with? Should it only be my colleagues? Should it only be people in my profession? And my recommendation, particularly if you don't know where you're going next or what the next thing is that you really want to focus on, is to cast a wide net. Now, that doesn't mean just throw out connection requests to everybody, and it doesn't mean accept from everybody, but it means perhaps expanding who you might otherwise connect with. So one of my first LinkedIn connections was somebody who I went to high school with. We were barely friends in high school. We had not stayed in touch, but she asked me to connect. I'm like, okay. I think she was one of the first people I even learned about LinkedIn. I'm like, okay, cool, we'll connect. And she's a professional and somebody who ultimately could be useful for me or for somebody else. So even though we were barely friends and we hadn't spoken in a lot of years, there would be no reason not to connect with her.
So do you, I see you have over 500 connections on your LinkedIn profile. Do you know all of those people?
That's a great question. I know them, and I have a very loose definition of what it means to know somebody. So have I shaken the hands of each of those people? No. But I do not connect with people that I don't have some context for. So as an example, let's say I get a connection request from somebody who I don't know or I don't think I know. I'll go to the person's profile, and if they don't tell me why they want to connect, which, by the way, for everybody listening today, I highly recommend when you send a connection request, tell the person why you want to connect. Remind the person how you know each other. Sometimes it's completely obvious, but most of the times it isn't. I heard you speak the other night. I met you at the networking group here. I'd love to connect because. That's valuable because it makes it easier for the other person, and it's polite, and it also opens the opportunity for potential conversation. You can actually begin a relationship just from a connection request.
I think that's really important. And, you know, the default is something to the effect of, hi, Susan, I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn.
Right.
So
right.
What you're saying is it's worth the extra, you know, 30 seconds to a minute to delete that and to really customize that request and say,
absolutely,
this is where we met or this is how I found out about you, so that you're already building more of a connection.
Exactly. And LinkedIn limits the length of the message. You cannot write a whole paragraph anyway. It's just a few sentences. So I definitely recommend doing that. And then when I hear from somebody, you know, I'll go to that person's profile, and if I see we have mutual connections, I usually still don't connect. I'll reply to the person, and it comes via email, so you just hit reply, and now you're communicating via email instead of through LinkedIn, and just say, I'm sorry, I don't recall if we've met. I see we have some mutual connections. Was there a reason you wanted to connect? Or if there is no connection, I might respond to the person and just say, was there a reason that you wanted to connect? And I say it very nicely. And if the person doesn't respond to me, I don't connect. If the person does respond, usually I'll connect. So do I know that person? And that, back to your original question, do I know that person? No, but I have context for each of those people. And one last comment on that. LinkedIn started, I think it was last summer, LinkedIn Connections, a place for when you connect with somebody, you can create a note on your profile reminding you, and it only goes to you, nobody else sees it, of how you met that person. So you can go in, and I think the prompt is who introduced us or how we met. So you can make a note. That person requested to connect with me because of X, or I heard that person talk on a radio show, and we connected that way. So you can make notes for yourself and remember how you've connected with that person.
So it's almost like the old school, what we've lost with the old school Rolodex, where you can actually pull out the card and jot a little note down.
Well,
you have a place where you can keep those notes.
Because LinkedIn, if you look where it says contact information, it actually is a little Rolodex card. I'm sure some people who have grown up without Rolodex don't even know that's the picture.
Right,
but
the millennials
is a picture
are like,
of a Rolodex.
What is that thing?
Yeah, so I have to Google Rolodex if you don't know what that is.
But I think that's it sounds like a great feature, and it's a great point that we have it's so fast and furious and quick to connect to somebody. We've maybe lost a little bit of that place to take the time to kind of get oriented with who this person actually is and what they're working on and who they may end up being for us.
Exactly.
And sort of to that point, what's the point in having, or maybe even is there a point in having a lot of connections? Does it matter? Is there a target number that people should be hitting or aiming for?
Yeah, there's no target specifically, although LinkedIn has what they call a complete profile, which is not what we think of as a complete profile. Just, you know, generically we think a complete profile means it's full. But under LinkedIn's terms, there are several things that contribute to having a complete profile, and they'll walk you through it. But one of the things that's required is at least 50 connections to have a complete profile. And the the way connections work on LinkedIn, they're first degree, second degree, and third degree connections. And it becomes exponential in terms of how the connections, the number of connections that you have exponentially increases your links to other connections. So there are advantages to having more connections than fewer connections.
So ultimately, the power in the number is how many second, third degree people you'll end up being potentially connected to.
Right. But I do want to say the flip side of that is I don't think there's a lot of value to having hundreds of connections that you don't know who they are, that you're never going to follow up with them or with their connections. You know, you're building this great network, but you want to use it. If you're not going to use it, no. So I wouldn't say just connect haphazardly. But, yes, there is value in having more connections.
So, Susan, this is we've kind of talked about how to get connected. I'm curious, what's the part of the profile that people tend to overlook and shouldn't, or something that maybe it wouldn't occur to people to take advantage of?
Yes. The summary section of the profile shows up before experience. And a lot of people either ignore the summary and don't complete it at all, or just throw in a few buzzwords that might be something that's like at the top of a resume. And the summary is one of the most valuable components of your LinkedIn profile because, first of all, it comes up first. And second of all, you have 2,000 characters, which is substantial, to say whatever it is you want to say about yourself. You know, obviously being truthful, et cetera. But it's it can be the summary of what you've done. It can be an explanation of where you're headed. I'd like to say that your summary should really address what it is you offer, how you're different from others who do what you do, what makes you credible, who is your target audience, help them to self-identify, include your contact information in your summary. After this call, you know, the people who are listening are welcome to go take a look at my summary because I've addressed it that way in terms of what makes me different, what makes me credible, what do I offer. I've included my contact information, and also, if you look at it, you see there's a lot of white space, which is also very important because you want to make it really easy for the reader to read it. And, you know, sometimes we've all seen resumes that are just filled with line after line after line, and, you go cross-eyed looking at it, and you don't want to read it. So you want to create a compelling, persuasive summary that people want to read.
So when you say white space, the idea that you're breaking the line that, you know, there's space for people to not kind of get lost in this sea
exactly.
of text. And,
exactly.
And to move
you know, I say try not to make any paragraph more than 5 lines at most. I think mine, the most I have for any of them is 3. So it's not like writing an essay in school.
I could see that being challenging for some people. So often we think that we need to sort of that maximizing something like this means cramming in as much as you possibly can. And
yeah.
I'm hearing you say, no, that's not the answer. That you need
right,
to be thinking about it from sort of the reader's perspective.
Absolutely. You always want to think about it from the reader's perspective. And cramming it all in, if nobody reads it, isn't going to get you anywhere anyway.
So we're going to jump back in just a minute, but I want to tell our listeners about a couple of shows that we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network. And I encourage you to tune in. We have shows on almost every day, either on our own channel or on our sister channel, the International Life Coach Radio Network, or on the Life Coach Chat channel. Tomorrow, right here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Oh, actually, I misspoke. It's Monday, the 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have The Spirituality of Justice with Danny Diaz. And this is an episode of Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and it will focus on the spirituality of working for justice for our most vulnerable citizens. And Minister Danny Diaz will be joining her along with some activists from the Justice for Car Washers campaign. on Tuesday, October 29th at noon Eastern. You're going to turn into Fund of Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. And callers and guests are going to share their inspirations, their business, and what makes it fabulous, the challenges and obstacles, and what helps them persevere and prosper. So you can listen and learn as you go through the startup waters. And on Sunday, November 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Shaw for a program called Recovering from Eating Disorders with certified life coach Susan Linowski. And Susan is a certified life coach who specializes in helping people with eating disorders. She's going to share her story and some of the healing that she's brought to others. So those are all on the Life Coach Radio Network. And you can hear me on every other Friday on the Life Coach Radio Network at noon Eastern as well. So, Susan, we're going to jump back in, and I'm curious about, you said in the beginning you were talking about sort of the idea of red flags, and you mentioned mm-hmm. recommendations. Mm-hmm. And then you were saying maybe if you get 10 recommendations all at once, it might raise a flag. But
right.
That made me wonder, how do you get recommendations in the first place? It seems like it might be a vulnerable thing to kind of demand of people that they recommend you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because that is how people tend to see it, I think. The answer to your question is you ask for them. But the reason it's so hard to do that is because it does place us in a vulnerable position. I mean, nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to ask somebody for a recommendation and then have that person say no, or even worse, just ignore you and you never hear anything back. And you also, I think many of us don't ask for recommendations because we feel like we don't want to be a burden and we don't want to impose on somebody's time. And those are a couple reasons that people tend not to ask for them. But typically, that's how you're going to get a recommendation. You can always put good karma out there and just write a recommendation for somebody that person never asked for, which is a great thing to do. It's happened for me. It's wonderful. You wake up in the morning and there's an email in your inbox saying so-and-so has recommended you. I mean, it's a great feeling. But as a practical matter, typically the way we're going to get recommendations is to ask for them. And you can do that through LinkedIn, but I think it's easier to just send the person and either ask the person live, call the person, or send an email. I'm working on updating my LinkedIn profile. I would love if you could recommend me, or if you'd be comfortable recommending me, I'd really appreciate it. And then when the person responds, and I would say pick somebody who's going to write you a really good recommendation. I think having a profile with a lot of mediocre recommendations is not a good plan. I'd rather have one or two really strong ones than several that are just so-so.
You be looking for when you're thinking about someone who's going to write you a really good recommendation and you're kind of strategizing around who you want to reach out to?
Yeah, I mean, it could be anybody who knows your skills. It could be somebody you've worked with as a colleague, as a boss, as a subordinate. Now, if you are the boss, I don't think I would ask a subordinate, in current time, because that would put the person, I think, would feel like pressure to them might be unfair. But if it's after the fact and the person is no longer working for you, that might be appropriate. But certainly colleagues, it could be people you've met at work who you've just worked together with on a project. It could be volunteer work. If you do work in your community and you're on, you plant a program or you're on the board, anybody who can, other than family members, I don't think I would go with that, who can attest to your skill. And one thing I want to point out about that is when a person recommends you on LinkedIn, they have to attach their recommendation to a particular job or volunteer position on your profile. So if you haven't built your profile yet, you don't want to ask somebody to recommend you because there's no place for the person to attach that recommendation to. So you at least have to put the entry
there. And when you say built your profile, if you haven't laid out your job history,
exactly,
somebody who worked with you at XYZ company wouldn't be able to attach that recommendation.
Exactly. So it has to be there. But if it, and, you know, yes, just to answer that question.
So what about the when you're requesting a recommendation? It's a great tip. I think some people feel like automatically the way they would do it would be right through LinkedIn. It wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It maybe wouldn't occur that you could just send a personal email.
Yeah.
Or make a request in person. What value is there in requesting feedback or recommendation with regards to particular skills or anything in particular that you'd like to stand out?
Yeah. So
is
there,
it,
you know,
is it better just to leave it open or to give a little bit of?
No, that's a really good question, and there's no right answer to that. I think the answer is it depends. If there is a particular, first of all, some people are going to ask, and they're going to say, well, what do you want me to highlight? If they ask that, don't say whatever you think. Please don't do that. If they've asked you, it's because they want direction. So give it to them. So if you worked with somebody on a project and you were really great at managing it and being on time and things like that, whatever skills it is that you want to highlight, absolutely tell them. If the person doesn't ask you, you can feel free to say, I'd love if you would write me a recommendation for my LinkedIn profile, and I'm working on highlighting these particular areas, my thoroughness, my promptness, and my leadership. And then, you know, it's up to the person if he or she wants to do that, but there's nothing wrong with giving direction and asking. Now, the flip side of that is if you don't give direction, sometimes you're really pleasantly surprised at what people choose to highlight. You might think this person is going to highlight X when, in fact, they pick up something else altogether that you didn't even know that person admired about you, but that's what they chose to emphasize. So, you know, there's no right answer, and there are advantages to both.
So it sounds like it might be something that starts out feeling a little vulnerable and scary. You might end up being surprised by some of the feedback that you get and what people actually do notice about you.
Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, I wrote an article about this a while ago about asking for recommendations. And you know, one of the things I said is, when you're on your own, either if you're not working or you're working alone, you don't have anybody who's coming to you every day or even once a month or once every 6 months patting you on the back saying, good job. You don't get that. And the best way to get that is your recommendations. And if you're having a bad day, go back and read some of those recommendations. It can be very uplifting and remind you.
Like a little pep talk.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So, Susan, I'm curious, do you have any tips about photos? I have sometimes people ask, you know, should I have a really professional photo? Should I have a picture of me, you know, in nature? Any tips or quick thoughts about selecting a photo?
Generally, your picture should be a professional headshot. The only exception to that is, I don't mean as an exception, but there are certain careers or jobs where a professional headshot either wouldn't be appropriate, not appropriate, but wouldn't necessarily be the best, or something in your natural setting might make more sense. So as an example, I know somebody and he owns an auto shop, and his photo, I think it was professionally done, but it's extremely casual. He's wearing a polo shirt with the logo of his company. Totally appropriate. He doesn't need to be sitting there in a suit and tie for his headshot. Or a personal trainer who, instead of a professional headshot, has a picture of herself looking great, you know, flexing her muscles in her workout outfit. Totally appropriate. So, you know, to a certain extent, it depends on your job. If you are in something where a photo that's specifically oriented around your work makes sense, but for most people, a professional headshot is the way to go.
Susan, you have shared so many great tips today. We've gotten some good tips on how to build connections, how to create your summary and why to bother with that, and get recommendations, and even picking a photo that's going to be approachable but professional depending
mm-hmm.
on your industry.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for your time. And I'm
My
wondering
pleasure.
What kind of support can people contact you for, and how can our listeners reach you if they have more questions or need more support?
Okay, thanks. The work I do is either I write people's profiles from beginning to end, and there's a whole process involved in that, and I also do one-on-one coaching and strategy sessions around LinkedIn. So I provide both of those options for people. My website is yourprofessionalwriter.com. My email is susan@yourprofessionalwriter.com. And on LinkedIn, it's Susan Tabor Kleiman. You can just look on LinkedIn. I won't bother with the whole URL because it's long. And I also have a Facebook page, Your Professional Writer PA.
Great. So I challenge our listeners, if you do connect with Susan and or with me after the show, to put her tip for how to do that into practice and let Susan know or let me know that this is how you found us and something that maybe you got out of the show.
Yeah, definitely connect with a note, please.
With a personalized note,
exactly.
Letting us know how you found us. Great. So, Susan, it's been a real delight having you today. My guest was Susan Tabor Kleiman. And if you want to reach me after the show, I love to hear from listeners. I invite you to visit my website at www.carriespaulding.com. It's CarrieSpaulding.com. You can email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach or Twitter at @spaulding_carrie, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn using the great tips that you learned today. Don't forget to tune in to our future shows on the Life Coach Radio Network, and have a wonderful day.